Oh, man, that's a double wow night. Before I minister the word, I just want to say a thank you to you for something that happened this summer in May. And I'm going to show you about a dozen pictures about that. This is a picture of Bogota, Colombia. Now, for me, it was mind-boggling to be in a community that was so large. This city is so big, if you took all the Inuit, all the people in Montreal, and all the people in Toronto and put them there, there would still be room for more. And very much like Calais, Colombia, God is moving in Bogota. And I was invited down to some of the churches to minister to there because they had heard what God was doing in the Arctic and they wanted me to come and share. And this is the man and his son that invited me to go down. Do you remember when I was talking this morning about Granny Goodwitch? This young man was saved out of in that mission, out of that kind of lifestyle. He was the second young man to be reached off the streets. And he's been a missionary now for 12 years in Bogota. Found himself a lovely bride. And he's being obedient to the word of the Lord. He's being fruitful and multiplying. Now, while I was there, I had a chance to go up to a boulevard city.
And that
was my taxi to Boulevard. And a very, very poor community. And these are the better houses in that community. And these are some of the workers up there that we met with. And they make houses in that community. This house was built out of wooden pallets. And many of the people that live there are First Nations people. Who have been driven off the land by the fighting between the drug lords and the government. But God is doing something wonderful there. Here's some scenes of the blessings of that country.
Taikani nunali nunalaktuame kutiusai matitsininga Piju alo me mesu menna.
They have 60 varieties of fruit that grow all year round.
60 ni atjigin ituni piroktuit ukiul akkaru iluane tai mangalima piroktu tai kane pirosur.
And they don't have to pay a dollar each, they just pick them.
One dollar riastrungi tulluni tigulatu inyasungi.
Oh, we get back to where I was. Oh, there we go. These are just some scenes of ministry in some of the churches. They are real Hollenocks. They like ties and shirts. But the young people look like our young people. And this was the last church I spoke in. And I was excited about that because my home church is called Faith Tabernacle of London.
Faith Tabernacle me.
And this was Faith Tabernacle of Bogota.
Then Faith Tabernacle of Bogota at the.
And there's some of the my interpreters, and the lady in the middle is a prophet. So I just want to say thank you. I had an exciting time there, 3 weeks. And while I was there, they asked me to minister. I ministered almost every day, sometimes three times. And they are going through revival much as you have been seen revival 4 or 5 years ago. One of their churches meets in a large stadium that seats 22,000 people. And they have 7 services on Sunday. And I was ministering in the smaller churches of just a few hundred and a few thousand. But with the blessings come the same kind of needs. And what I'm going to share tonight is a message that they asked me to preach in Bogota. Will you come and speak to us about conflict in the church? You would think that of all the institutions in the world, the last place you would find conflict would be in the church. And the truth is, in many dead churches, there is no conflict.
Yes.
You see, that when you do nothing for the Lord, the devil doesn't care about you doing it. But when you begin to get serious with the Lord, then he gets a bit worried and concerned.
So,
So I want you, if you would, right now, just stand with me. And we want to invite our teacher to be here present. He came with you. He's been lifted up and exalted in your praises. And the Word of God says, not only does He dwell in your praises, but He is enthroned in your praises. That means He comes in all His glory and majesty. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. Even as we have exalted you, Lord Jesus,
Jesus Christ,
we invite the Holy Spirit to come and be our teacher. That He would take the logos that is shared tonight and quicken it with His authority and convert it into a rhema word. Again, we proclaim that the entrance of Your word brings life. And it is our heart tonight to lift up You, Lord Jesus. And so we welcome Your ambassador in Your precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Lord bless you. You may be seated. Now, I want to right at the very beginning tell you that we're not going to solve conflict in the church. But if you allow the Holy Spirit tonight, He can resolve the conflict that is in you that has been in the church. Now I have an encouraging word for you tonight. And it is found in 2 Timothy 3, verse
12.
It says, all that will live godly in Christ will suffer persecution.
Now,
you say, how can that be an encouraging word? Well, if you're going through problems, conflict, and persecution, perhaps it's because you're doing something right. You see, we have been sold a story, a bill of goods, whatever you want to call it, that if we serve Jesus, everything's going to be rosy.
Oh,
but the truth is that we face obstacles in every step of our life, just like everyone else. But the encouraging fact is we do not face it alone. I know many of you that have gone through difficult experiences.
And
you would agree with me tonight and say, if it wasn't for Jesus,
I wouldn't
have made it.
And
you see, others are watching you when you're going through that time.
It's
just like the accuser of the brethren when he came to Job. He actually said, well, if you treated me like Job, I'd even serve you. But we need to get on with the word. I have two facts I want you to look at. Number one is, if we will have conflict, I've already said that, in the world, with the devil, and within our own spirit. We discussed it this morning. We are in the world, but not of the world. The world doesn't understand what we're doing and what we're talking about. And when we don't understand it, something many times we are afraid of it.
And
the world, many in the world are afraid of the church. They know the authority that the church has if it begins to walk in the unity and the power that God has given it. I quoted that verse this morning about the two disciples that they said when they came into town, those that have turned the world upside down have come here also. Now, if two couldn't turn the world upside down, think of what God could do in Nunavik if he got a hold of us. Look out, Canada.
Canada,
the second point I put there is if you're not going through any conflict, the good chances are that you're not doing anything for the Lord. But we're not that group. If that shoe fits you, come and see me after. And I'll give you a new pair. Amen. Now, here is a point and the main reason that I feel the Lord wants me to share this message. Is that conflict in the church, not from without the church, but in the church, is one of the chief tools that the devil uses to strip or rob the church of its power and authority.
And to
rob it of its effectiveness. And why do I say that? Because when conflict comes, it takes us out of the place of commanded blessing.
dana sanak vai so ngoma wattinik dai chumanga sai mate tau ni ugajak tumut dilili gutau sima yumut ubattin sanak vai so ngoma dana.
You understand that there is a place, and we were hearing about that tonight from Brother Roger Armbruster.
Yeah, tu sakai nyakta dai mai tu ta khang mata na Roger haktilugo.
Where the word of the Lord says he will command his blessing.
Kutiu hausinga kutiu hausinga gut dan na kuti sai mati tau lo lunyu kwa la sung ummat.
And that's found in Psalms chapter 133, the whole chapter. It's not very long, just a few verses.
Taina uhaktau juta manna ingirut 133 tan na naitu apiutsuni.
And it says there, behold how good and pleasant it is for brothers and sisters to dwell together in unity.
Tanu hami mak takugi piu juktua galo hubi anak tulaki utsunilu takunung ahatang utigiinyut atau siu hatigi tunut.
Now he says it's like that precious anointing oil.
Uhaktu imaitu tanna uksitiriuti uksujujaktu taimaituk.
When you're flowing in the presence of the Lord, you sense and you feel that anointing. And it's very much like this describes it. It just seems to just flow down over you from your head to your toes. A friend I heard testify from the States that went to the Toronto Blessing.
And
they had an expression in the South where they said, the Lord will bless your socks off. And they thought it was just an expression about the Lord. Until the Lord got a hold of them in the Toronto Blessing and they were down in the Spirit. And the joy of the Lord had filled them, and they were just laying there laughing and shaking. Their feet were shaking. And one shoe went flying, and then the other shoe went flying. And a little later, the one sock went and the other sock went. And they said, now I know what it means. For God to bless my socks off. Now, I don't advise that in the north.
You'll
get cold feet. But that precious anointing, the word of the Lord says, when it comes, it says there, the Lord commanded his blessing. And I want to be in the place of commanded blessing. The place of commanded blessing is the place of unity. And it is the enemy's plan. It has been his plan since Pentecost. To divide the church. Since they came into one accord in the upper room. And the enemy said, boy, we can't let that happen
again.
But as we study revival after revival, we find that as God's people came together in unity,
The
Lord released his blessing. I just went through that verse quick because I wanted to move on. You can read it later, Ephesians 4:4-6. And the reason I put that verse up was because we understand that in the Godhead, there has always been complete harmony and unity. And in the body of Christ, we need that same unity. The results of that unity, we have seen it. It's the manifest presence of God. In the New Testament, we see that they were filled with the Holy Spirit. They spoke in tongues. People were changed. But that's what the enemy wants to stop. And that's why it's important that we understand what conflict is about.
And that
when we allow it to continue, what it will cost us. Now I just add in here just for a little bit of an insert. What is the commanded blessing? When you get into the study into the Abrahamic covenant, in Deuteronomy 28, we have all of these blessings. The Lord says He will command. He says He'll bless our communities. He'll bless our land. He'll bless our family. He'll bless the labor of our hands. He'll multiply what you do have in your storehouse. And if that's not enough, He says He'll bless you when you go out. And He'll bless you when you come in. That means every aspect of your life will receive a blessing from God. Now, what causes conflict in the church? And we're just going to touch on some points. Now I want to just share, as Eva shared this afternoon, that if there are some areas that the Lord begins to speak to you about, even as Eva invited you this afternoon, if the Lord shows you some areas, tonight we want to minister into those areas. Eva touched on an area that brings conflict in your life, in your home, this afternoon. And I won't be touching on that this evening. One of the simplest ones to deal with is the very first one. Lack of communication.
Unai mai tuk hanuilu khatigi khajangin khajat siangin yuha khatigi khajat siangin.
Pastors.
Tasiokti.
Wives and husbands, especially wives will say about husbands.
Nuleagit, agnagit, uigit, biluaktume, uigijaujut.
I'll say to my wife, well, we got special meeting tonight.
Agnagano uha koma katinga gehalanga katunno.
And she'll say, where? I'll say, in Toronto, I told you.
Uha uha utijaga agnaga Toronto me kaujuma butu kaujilaujukakit.
And she, no, you never told me.
Uha tu banno uha lauksi mangenya bi banno.
And she said, well, I'll say, well, it's on the calendar. And she'll look at her calendar and say, no, it's not on the calendar. And of course, to save myself, I'll say, well, it must be on my calendar. And that's a simple example. But that is how things start very simply. The Bible says we need to let our yeses be yeses and our noes, noes. I zipped through the points because I'm going to get them one at a time just to save a little time. For our pastors, you know, some of our churches down south, we use bulletins, we use other things, we make notes. Whatever works is important. Even in communicating prophetic words, we've got some little recorders so that when someone prophesies, we record it so that people can hear it later. There are times that we communicate, not just in messages, like, but when we're teaching or preaching, that we need to make the word clear. A wise man many years ago, one of my mentors, taught me the three S's of public speaking.
And
Roger's going to quote them over here if I let him. But he said to me, David, you first of all, you stand up. Stand up. If you have a word from the Lord, then stand and be proud about what you're sharing. Well, I think God has something for me to share today.
And
then he said, you should speak up. If it's really a word from the Lord, people need to hear it. Then he said, shut up. When God's done speaking, you should be too. And all the congregation said, amen.
Hallelujah.
So there are many areas where we can fail to communicate, and because of that, problems arise. The next problem is a much more serious problem in the church.
And
probably the source of most of the problems I've been called to in conflict, and that's rebellion. There is a spirit of rebellion in this age. And it's not a new spirit. It is really the spirit of Antichrist. It's as old as the rebellion in the heavens when the devil stood up and said, I will. But as we are entering the end times, the last times, the enemy is not so subtle as he used to is. Rebellion is open. It's in our families, in our workplaces. We see it in our government when we watch it on television.
It's
manifested in many ways. And we see it in the church. When people fail to submit to the God's leadership. Now, how serious is rebellion? Well, it was serious enough that the devil fell with 1/3 of his angels. Well, you say, well, that's the devil. What about us? How serious is it for us? The Bible says it is as the sin of witchcraft. Now, aren't you glad that we are living in the period of grace? Because if we weren't living in the period of grace, we would have to take all of you rebels out and stone you. But the Lord gives you an alternative. And that's called repentance. And there are some of us that need to repent for areas where we have been rebellious. Now I'm going to move on to the next point. And that point is sin. You read the epistles, especially the pastoral epistles.
And
we find that sin in the church is not a new problem. Now that doesn't justify it being there. I just share that to let you know that it doesn't originate here. But it does originate here. In our hearts. And sin causes conflict. It causes conflict in our life and in our walk. And And if it's allowed to remain, it causes conflict within the church. But the wonderful thing about it is that God has also provided for that. For if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us.
Jesus Christ to siul aunganut salumatau titsu suta
from all unrighteousness. Another area where I have become aware more recently of that causes conflict within the church.
And
that is a lack of honor or respect for the servants of the Lord. And for the Lord himself. A few weeks ago, I was invited with my wife and some other pastors and their wives to go to the mayor's office for prayer in our community. And I went into my bedroom and I got out my suit and my white shirt and my tie and my good shoes. And I started to dress up fancy. And my wife says, "You don't have to get dressed like that to go to see the mayor." She's our close friend, and nobody else will be dressed up. But I looked at her and said, "Honey, I'm not dressing up for Anne Marie." I am dressing up to honor the office that God has placed her in. And she said, "Oh." And went to her closet. You understand what I'm saying? When we honor the servants of the Lord, we honor the Lord. And there is a lack of honor in God's house. A lack of reverence for the house that we are in. Now, tonight we're in the Navigator Inn. It says so right here. But I want you to understand something. That as of last evening, around 5, 6 o'clock, this became the house of the Lord. And we welcomed it as his place. And we want to honor that house. Not because it's Navigator Inn. But until Sunday evening, it is the house of the Lord. No, for many years, the Lord's house was a tent that was moved from one location to another. But once that tent was set up and the offerings were made, you could not enter that house unless you first were cleansed. When we dishonor the Lord, it brings conflict in the house. Another area, and I will just touch on this, and it's an area that I've seen all over the world. God has called us to be leaders. And if He has set you in that position, you need to lead. And if God has set you apart for that, you need to equip yourself. You need to get on your knees and ask the Lord to gift you and equip you. As the shepherd of God's flock, you need to get into the Word and get them some good food. I can remember several years ago, Jack Hayford was talking about his tape ministry.
And
there were many people that would subscribe for his weekly sermons. And their tape equipment broke down, and they sent out a letter and said, sorry, for the next while, we will not be able to send out the weekly sermon. And the pastor of a rather large church called up in panic. He said, if you don't send me your tape, what am I going to preach on next week? You know, the Lord's not called us to be cows that just sort of chew the grass, swallow it, and a little later spit it up and chew it again. No, as leaders, we all want to be kings and priests. But David the king learned how to be king by being a good shepherd first. Before he ever faced Goliath, he had already beat the lion and the bear. You know what that tells me about David and his slingshot? He learned how to use it and practiced hours and hours and hours hitting the mark.
David
He didn't wait till the lion came and said, oh, where did I put my slingshot? Where does this stone go? How does this thing work? He was a sure shot. Lions, look out. Bears, look out. Because God's raising up some sure shots. Men and women who are willing to lay down their lives for their sheep.
When
I worked in the hospital, I was a manager, supervisor for quite a few very intelligent and talented technologists.
And
I had a little plaque on my desk. And I think I would want you to adopt that plaque, what it said tonight as pastors.
And
my plaque said, I must hurry and catch up. For I am their leader. Do you understand what I'm saying? We are to be leaders. You as Christians are to be leaders in your community. And every ministry that God is setting you apart to. We have too many Christians that are followers and they're following the wrong thing in the world. When they should be providing the leadership in the world. Now I'm going to begin to wrap up. I want you to understand the plan of the enemy. The plan of the enemy from the beginning has been to destroy. Well, let me go back to my title is. I got ahead of myself.
And
I'll touch this quickly. The source of conflict. Number one, it is from the enemy. Number two, it can come from you. Or it can come from God. You see, if we understand the Word of God, it doesn't matter where it comes from. What matters is how we deal with it. Because the promise of the Lord is that He will work all things together for good.
And
so how we address conflict determines how the outcome of conflict is going to come. We can allow it to run our life.
Pivot sa hakti niya tuwag tigo inyo sa tinawlat sa tiliyugutaman na
or we can take the opportunity to make it another lesson and growing opportunity in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Upaluni taimetu kurni mutanna pivitaro tigilugu akhisernigami atanami pijumi taimaluni atutitilugu.
Now you understand that the Lord wants to work his purposes out in your life.
Tukisigitsei atane inyusitsini pinyasua pinyasua komallagattu aluman.
Brother Keith was talking today about how when we're younger Christians it seems we have a lot less conflict in our life.
Keith uha kaumimmat imang Christu simiu kamiutilluta inyusumnisautilluta makkutuunersautilluta lo Christu simiutautilluta tamakku isuillingane pitahanginersaugiangannik.
It seems like the umbrella of the Lord protected us in our early walk.
Imailing ajortuujaama suurlutaanna suurujuttaugikkuti khulittini suurlu atani taimaittu khartisijortuujaarsuni Christu simiuqataartiluta sapummisuni tamakkununga isuillinganernut ikullanersautitsisuni.
But as we grew in our relationship with the Lord, it seemed that that covering was drawn back.
Taima piruqpalia nivumalitsugu piruq atanermi tutukhavallianivut malitsugu taanna suurlu pijaugikkuti piqpaliajortuujaartilugu sanerfapalliajuujaartilugu.
And as it was drawn back, we had to press closer and closer and closer into the Lord.
Taima imailingajortuujaarsuni taanna piqpaliatillugatanermu khanillivalliatuinnatugu taimanga khanittuqpaliatuinnatugatanermu.
Now our prayer at home when we have our morning devotions, generally includes this one phrase as I pray.
Una tutsialertilutta taima imettumik uhausermik tutsiasungemailisungujunga.
And there have been days when I come to the end of that day, I said, Lord, I wished I had not prayed that prayer this morning.
Illanganella ullunaaningani tutsialitoorami imailisungummijunga atanerli taima tutsiasa
And that prayer is simply this. I thank you, Lord, that your grace is sufficient for every thing that will come against me today. And then I will close by saying I thank you for every opportunity to prove your faithfulness. And when I say that, it means this. It's okay, Lord. Whatever the world, the devil, or you throw at me, your grace is sufficient to take me through. Now, what does that do for my day? That means that it doesn't matter what happens that day. I know, I have prepared my heart that God was aware of what was going to happen. And this is just another opportunity to prove that he's faithful. And that's what conflict is really about. It can either rob you of the commanded blessing by bringing you into disunity and discord. Or we can stand on the word of God knowing that all things work together for good.
imailiyunik tamakwali matsiat naukunili matsiavut piujumut tuqaangatillugit ingiqavut.
And we can grow a little bit more in Jesus. That's what conflict is about. And when you're facing conflict, the best defense that you have is the Word of God. Now, the best offense you have is the Word of God. That's when you attack, you're on the offensive. When you're attacked, you're on the defensive.
Huh?
Amen. Now, when you look at my board, it says truth is the best offense or defense.
Tako vanilla simajun sapu meyaugiagotilu akigiagotitsialo.
And the reason I put that there is because the word of the Lord declares my word is truth. And the Bible says in John chapter 1 that he was the word manifest, he who is the truth, was the word manifest in the flesh. And as the scripture says of Jesus, that in the fullness of time, he was manifested. In the fullness of God's timing, he will be manifested in your situation. Now, my wife and I have a different relationship. Than some Christians do. Last week, she left the house with our last
$10.
Now, we're a faith ministry. When I say that, I mean that. We have traveled hundreds of miles to arrive some places with only
75 cents.
And there was some money we knew coming in a couple days, but that was our last
$10.
And when she came back after she dropped my daughter to work, she says, I met a man and a woman outside of Tim Hortons and they looked very hungry. And they asked her, said, do you have a couple of dollars so we could get something to eat, a couple of donuts to eat? She says, no, but I have $10. Go in and get yourself some sandwiches and a tea. So when she came home, we didn't have $10 anymore. And when she left, she had been in the midst of sorting out her dresser drawer. Now, how many of you have one of those drawers where you just stick everything in until finally it gets full? And you have no choice but to go through it and get rid of some junk out of it. Well, she pulled out the next thing out of that drawer and there was a card.
That
said David and Joan.
David Jones.
And she opened it up and it was a Christmas card from
1999.
And in this card was the little note she said, there's $40 for you. We thought you might need this sometime. I guess sometime it just arrived. Now, why do I share that? I know my wife's heart. She's prophetic. Now, she would be upset if she heard that I told you that she was prophetic. Because she walks quietly before the Lord. And if she said the Lord told her that I'm not going to disagree with her. And that's the way we have walked for many years. I could have chose conflict. You did what with our last
$10?
You gave it to who?
At
Tim Hortons.
Tim Horton Moon. Me too.
No, I said, well, that's fine, dear.
And
then she sat down and began to open that letter. It's how we approach conflict. And I will close with this comment. I've shared this one verse with you almost every time I come north. Whatsoever you do,
1 Corinthians 10:31.
Do it all. To the glory of God. Set that attitude in your heart. Conflict will come. You're not going to get away from it. But you can let it do its perfect work in you.